Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you, constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And that is God's word for us tonight as we start looking at this great letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. You know, all of us, I think, need reminders in life, don't we? We do need reminders. I'm not thinking when I say that about the reminders that we put on our calendars. Of course, we need them as well. I very much need them. If it's not in my phone, then it's probably not going to happen. But I'm talking about the reminders of things that are actually true. Things that are true. Sometimes our minds can be irrational. And sometimes we can think of things that are totally unrealistic and false. And we need words of truth brought to us. We've had that since childhood, haven't we? I don't know if you're ever scared of being in the dark. Maybe you're still scared of being in the dark. I don't know. But, you know, you had your parents and they would give you words of truth that there actually wasn't a monster in the wardrobe who would come out in the dark. You know, we need words of truth when we might be thinking irrationally. We also need reminders, don't we? Reminders not only of what is true, but reminders of what keeps us on track in life. What keeps us on track in life. I'm thinking of the sportsmen, the sportswomen, who sometimes go off track and they say they've needed reminders. They've needed reminders what got them to where they were in the first place. The hard work and the discipline. And they'd gone off track. They'd stopped doing that and hadn't benefited them at all. They needed those reminders. And in our passage tonight, we see Paul giving Timothy some reminders. You'll see that word a few times, remind, I've been reminded. And also a very similar term, remember. We know that there's a difference between remembering and being reminded. But it brings before us that as Timothy receives this letter, and perhaps you'd like to put yourselves in Timothy's shoes tonight. Put yourself in Timothy's shoes. You're receiving this letter. And there are reminders from your great friend, but your mentor, the Apostle Paul. It is his last inspired letter. 2 Timothy is Paul's last inspired letter. He is in Rome. He's under arrest. This time it's not house arrest where he could receive visitors. This time it's in a prison, dark, dingy prison cell in Rome. And he awaits execution. We see that in chapter 4, verse 6. You know, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knows that very soon his 30 plus years of serving the Lord on this earth are coming to an end. And so he writes to Timothy. Paul has faced very much in his life the persecution, and he's faced the threat of false teaching, sort of the inward danger of false teaching in the church, persecution which comes from outside. He's faced them all the time. Perhaps the heat is being intensified in these days when he is writing. And he's writing to Timothy, a younger man, maybe in his 30s. Probably not younger than that, possibly even 40. But a man who can be marked a little bit by timidity and fearfulness. Maybe all of us have got a little bit of Timothy in us. Maybe we've got a lot of Timothy in us as we think of that. And Paul's letter, overall, the big theme is an urging of Timothy to go on with boldness, to look to the Lord and go on in boldness and take this ministry on. Very much the baton is being passed on from Paul to Timothy. Paul's going to be gone within the year. Within the year, he will be gone from this earth. He'll have gone to be with Christ, of course. We'll think about that. And he's urging Timothy to go on. So we're going to think about that in four ways tonight. We're going to think of four reminders. We're going to think of the reminder that God provides. We're going to think of the reminder of partnership. You're not alone in this. You're not alone in this in verses 3 to 4. Verses 1 to 2, it's the reminder of God's provision. The reminder of partnership in verses 3 to 4. The reminder, Timothy, in verse 5, that you have faith. You have faith, Timothy. And the reminder in verses 6 to 7 that you have a gift from God. So let's think about that and put ourselves in Timothy's shoes. These applications should all, or these words should all come to us with application as well. God's provision. And as Timothy opens this letter, I don't know how he received it exactly, straight away he can see it's from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul hasn't taken this title for himself of being a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that he was appointed to, something that he was commissioned for, and it was given to him by God. He was given a specific task. And Timothy, as he receives this, is not receiving a mere note from a friend. He is receiving the very word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, we'll think about that in weeks to come, Lord willing, that all scripture is breathed out by God. And this scripture, these words, Timothy, are profitable for rebuke or reproof. That means to stop us when we're thinking or doing things wrong. These words are used to correct us, to turn us in our thinking, to turn us on, to face the right way, and then for teaching, to direct us in the right way. So scripture, that which you are receiving, Timothy, is from an apostle, and it is God's word, and it is useful to equip you, Timothy, to equip us for every good word. So immediately, when Timothy receives these letters, this letter, he has been reminded that God provides his word for us. He provides his word. But also we notice that God, Paul brings before us that God is a great provider of something else. You see that in verse 1. According to the promise of life. As I said, Paul is facing death. Very soon his head would be separated from his shoulders. As he's a Roman citizen, he cannot be crucified, he cannot be thrown to the lions, but he can be beheaded. And that is what history says happens to Paul. But when the executioner's sword or axe comes down on his neck, it is not the end of his life. That's not it. In fact, we could really say this, that a greater chapter is about to start. He has, Paul has, as does every believer, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul had written about departing in a previous letter, hadn't he, to the Philippians. I'm hard pressed between the two, to remain here or to go to be with the Lord. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. And so the reminder that is in this very first sentence that Timothy receives, that he has life, and there is a promise of life that is in Christ Jesus for all who trust in him. It is secure, absolutely secure. It is a life that can be enjoyed now, a trust that we're all enjoying, eternal life, that life we have in Christ Jesus. It's that quality of life. Not just that quantity of life. But we know there's going to be a greater enjoyment of that. a greater enjoyment of eternal life once we leave this earth. And so Timothy, in receiving this, is being reminded not that just God provides his word, but God provides life, and that life is in his Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Timothy is also reminded that God has provided for him a spiritual father. What tender words they are, aren't they? To Timothy, my beloved child, or as some versions have it, my beloved son. You know, God has provided into Timothy's life a mentor, if you like. He is not alone, and he has a spiritual father in that Apostle Paul. But not only that, so he has God's word, he has life, he has a spiritual father, but also there are these blessings, grace, mercy and peace that come from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Timothy, God provides these things for you. Believers, God provides these things for us. That the very grace of God, when we look to him, he provides grace in a time of need for us. You know, Paul could say when he had that thorn in the flesh and he wanted it to be gone, whatever you think that was. And the answer from the Lord Jesus was this: my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. I will give you the grace to cope in times of weakness. Whatever that weakness is, whatever that trial is, I will give you that grace. Whatever the work is I call you to do, I will give you the grace that enables you to do that. It's true for all of us, and Timothy is being reminded of that. Not only that, he is being reminded that God provides mercy in our times of failure. When we don't do what we should do, when we do what we shouldn't do, we can know God's mercy. Very characteristic God through the Old Testament and into the New. I'm a God who is merciful to his people. He sees our weaknesses, he knows our frailties, and he is a merciful Father. But not only that, Timothy, as you face the task ahead, as you might have fearfulness and anxiety, Timothy, I want to tell you that you can have peace from God. You can know peace. In times of anxiety and times of fearfulness, there is that peace that can come. And that's a peace that can transcend all understanding, Timothy. And it will guard your heart and it will guard your mind. Timothy, I'm reminding you that God is a great provider. His word, his life, mentors for us, grace, mercy and peace. Just in these first two verses we see, we are reminded of God's provision. But not only that, as Timothy, you may be thinking of the task ahead of him, and is a bit restless, maybe think he's alone in this, feels isolated. Verses 3 and 4, he's reminded of the partnership, that he is not alone in this work. In this work of serving the Lord, Timothy, you are not alone. In fact, Paul is reminding him, it's the God whom I serve, the God whom you are serving, and our ancestors did before that. Paul's looking back to those faithful Old Testament prophets, to those who even before the time of Christ served God faithfully and serve God with a clear conscience. Timothy, there is a long line of succession. You know, we're going to see in this letter, I'll suggest to you in the first chapter, three lines of succession. The first one, you're in a line of service, Timothy. You're not alone. You're just the one coming along now. I did, Paul says. Before me, there were people before me. You know, sometimes the people of God can feel that they are on their own in serving. Feel isolated. You know, Elijah. Think of Elijah. You know, he was a great man of faith. He prayed and there was no rain for 3.5 years. He prayed and then there was rain. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who on Mount Carmel, wasn't it? You know, there were the 450 prophets of Baal? I think that's 450. You'll correct me afterwards if I'm wrong. And there, you know, him on his own, you know, demonstrated his great faith. But then shortly after that, he seems weak. I only am left. I'm on my own, God. 1 Kings 19. Yet what does God say to him? Verse 18. I have 7,000 in Israel. Elijah, you're not on your own. And Paul is reminding Timothy, though you might feel isolated at times, Timothy, I want to tell you this. There is a partnership in this work. You're in a line of godly servants. And Timothy, I want to tell you this, that I am praying for you. I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. You know, Timothy is being prayed for by Paul. Paul is in prison awaiting execution. You know, we thought our lockdown was harsh. His lockdown was a lot worse, yeah? But he's praying for Timothy. And he's praying specifically for Timothy as well. You know, when we look at Paul's prayers through his letters, I think his prayers were more than just, Lord bless Timothy, amen. He prayed specifically that Timothy, I'd imagine, would have boldness, wisdom, perseverance. He would have joy in his service. He would know that peace that God will provide. He would know that grace that God will provide. He would have opportunities. You know, within Paul's prayer, as we examine his prayers through Scripture, they give us a hint of maybe what he was praying for Timothy night and day. And Paul believed prayer made a difference. And Paul knew it would be a great encouragement for Timothy to know that he was being prayed for. You know, a few of my dear friends, actually. There's one of my dear friends, he prays for me every Monday. I don't know a specific Monday, but it's good, isn't it? What an encouragement, every Monday. There's a sister recently, actually there was a sister and another family. They told me that they prayed for me every day. Every day. What an encouragement it is, isn't it? To think of people having a sincere interest and coming before God and praying for others. Coming before God and praying for others. You know, we partner with each other in prayer. There's many things we cannot do. Lots we cannot do. Lots I cannot do. Lots you cannot do. It might be by dint of age and energy. But we can pray. And one of the great gifts that we have is to pray and to use that gift. To almost to get to our verse later down, to fan that into life, isn't it? Our prayer life. To kindle it up in ourselves. Because prayer makes that great difference, doesn't it? It's hard work. It's a discipline. But it's a need of discipline, isn't it? And Timothy, not only are you in a long line of servants, not only am I praying for you, but Timothy, I want to know this, in partnership, I want you to know this, you are loved. You are loved. I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. You can just see the tenderness there, can't you, between Paul and Timothy, between these two brothers in the Lord. You know, I think if Paul was in any assembly he was in, he wouldn't be the sort to make a quick exit or try and avoid people, would he, after the meeting and head down. I long to see you. You know, it challenges us, doesn't it? Is that how we feel about each other? I long to see you. I long to see you. Because then I will have joy inside of me. And so Timothy is being reminded that although he may feel isolated and alone, the reality that he is precious to others and he is loved by others, he is prayed for by others. And that's a great encouragement to everyone, isn't it? That sometimes, imagine all of you might feel that. You feel alone, you feel isolated in whatever you're doing in service. But we are not. Yes, the Lord is with us. We understand that. We know that and we treasure that. But people pray for us. People should love us and long to see us. Maybe that should be more of a mark of us. It is God's people. To have that love for others. And so these things would be generally said by ourselves. But the third reminder is this. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Now, I don't know, obviously we have no evidence whatsoever to say that Timothy had any doubts about his salvation. But if he did have any doubts, he certainly wasn't the first person ever to have doubts, and he wasn't the last person to ever have doubts about his salvation. We know that when Paul first met Timothy, Acts chapter 16, Timothy was already a believer. We know his mother was, and scripture seems to indicate by omission that his father was not. Seems to indicate that his father was not. But Paul is convinced, now he's been convinced because he's known Timothy a long time, that Timothy's faith is the real deal. It is the real deal. It is sincere. You know, the word used is without hypocrisy. It is without hypocrisy. And I think all of us have heard that, you know, the word hypocrite comes to describe those who are actors in ancient times. Greek actors is where it comes from. And of course, as in days, they would play a role. And the idea was an actor would come on the stage, they would have a mask up in front of them, and they would play a role. And when they leave the stage, the mask comes down. They were known as hypocrites. You see, they were playing a role. And of course, the word is now used for someone who plays out a role. When it comes to the Greek actors, first century, it wasn't derogatory, I'm sure of that. But now, of course, it would be. The Lord Jesus used that term, didn't he, to describe the Pharisees. Hypocrites, you're playing a role. You're coming on the stage. When you're off the stage, you're someone else. And Paul is saying, no, Timothy, I've seen your life. I've seen areas of your life. I know how you are at home. I know you are in times of prosperity. I know how you are in times when we're in a bit of poverty. I've seen you in stressful situations. Timothy, I know your faith is real. Because I've seen it acted out. Of course, it's only over time that we can really see that. But even Paul didn't know that about everyone. Later on, we'll go to, if we, you know, Lord willing, we'll get to chapter 4, and we'll think of Demas, someone who was in the missionary team of Paul. Someone who obviously was saved, baptized he was baptized in fellowship, someone who was in the missionary team, but someone who loved the world and went off. There were people who were fakers around Paul, but he says to Timothy, I know that your faith is real. And it dwells in you. You see that? It's not a visitor. It abides in you. It's resident. Faith is resident in you. That's there. That's where it lives, in you. We don't just see it for a little bit and then it goes off again, Timothy. No, we see it through your life. Faith dwells in you. But Timothy, let me remind you, here's a succession as well. Not only do you serve in a long line of people, in your family there's a line of faith. Now, faith is, of course, individual. Can't be passed on, as in actually having faith. But the word of God, that faith comes through, can be passed on. And Paul says, I've seen it. You know that it was in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. We take it that Timothy was taught the scriptures from an early age. Exposed to the word of God from an early age. His mother and his grandmother did that. You know, today parents and grandparents have that great privilege and responsibility. to teach the Word of God and to make it a priority. In this world, probably much different in the first century, there were many different things competing for time and attention. In our world today, there's many things that will compete for the time and attention of children. And for parents to take their children, grandparents to take their children. And some of those things are not wrong. I mean, sports, music, arts, all good things perhaps. But there's an adage that sometimes the good can become the enemy of the best. The good can be the enemy of the best. And of course that applies not just for children in their activities, it applies for all of us as well. We need to get our priorities in order. And Paul seems to be reminding Timothy that his mother and his grandmother got their priorities in order. You know, it's easy, isn't it? It can be easy for us to drift. It can be easy for parents to drift from teaching their children the Word of God. It can be easy in relationships, whatever relationships we're in marriages or whatever, to drift from that. And we need to check ourselves, to rein ourselves, to get what is the ultimate priority in life and make it that. And the other things which we can enjoy by God's grace can come around that, can come around that as well. There's a rather large quote I've got from Deuteronomy 11. I wouldn't read it for the sake of time, but it's just how Moses spoke to the people of Israel as they were going into the land. What should you do? Have the word of God bound on your hands, on your head and on your hands, on your doorpost. Let it be through your life as a seam, the very word of God, that steady diet. You know, what do we think? I just imagined. What was Timothy like when he was younger? I don't know what he was like. But do I actually think he sat at his mother's and his grandmother's feet with a notebook and pen? Well, they didn't exist, but you know what I mean. Taking notes attentively as they read the scriptures and taught? No, I don't think he did. He'd be a most unusual child if he did, wouldn't he? But undoubtedly what happened is his mother and grandmother persevered. Timothy, come back. Come back. Listen up, Timothy. And it paid dividends. The teaching of God's word. You know, sometimes people involved in that need that great encouragement. Parents, Sunday school teachers, all sorts do that. And we need that encouragement little by little, teaching by teaching. Plant the seed and God will use it. I remember once, and I had many occasions like this, that I was in a classroom and the classroom was very, very disobedient. When I say very, I mean very. I remember once standing there thinking, what on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? I don't have many occasions like that in school, thankfully. But I had to remind myself, teach the word of God. Teach it, keep teaching it and bringing it. And God will use that seed. Persevere in it. And so Timothy has this sincere faith that he has been taught about by his grandmother and his mother, which has borne fruit in his life. And then finally, I remind you, fourth reminder of God's gift. Timothy, obviously because you have faith, you have a gift. And that gift has been given to you by God. Now some people say, well everyone would say, you'd all say, what is that gift? What is that gift? Some would say it's the gift of the Holy Spirit, because he himself is a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit is poured into a person when they come to faith in Christ. But equally, some say it's a spiritual gift that is received to be used to serve each other. Now, I think it's very difficult to be precise. But what we do know is this, that every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who gives every believer gifts to use so that they can honour God serving others. And we can all agree on that, because that's what Scripture says. And the gift that we have must be exercised. And that is what Paul is urging Timothy to do. That he should serve in whatever way he can, with all that God has given him, in the way that God desires it to be used. And that would be true for all of us. Remember the John Blanchard, he's gone to be with the Lord now, isn't he? What a great ministry he gave. I don't know if you can remember his strap line at the bottom of his newsletters and things like that. As much as I can, as well as I can, as long as I can. That's good, isn't it? And I can say it's good because it's not mine. As much as I can, as well as I can, as long as I can. I think he fulfilled that in his life. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, fan up, bring into life. It's there, it's like a fire, but it's kind of, it's possibly what Paul is saying here, that is just embers and you need to fan it into flame. It is possible as well, he's saying, keep it aflame. Whatever Paul is saying there, whether it's a flame that is dying or it's a flame that just needs to keep going, it is really to keep going. Keep using your gift. Keep serving Timothy. Timothy, it seems he's definitely got a gift for teaching God's word. And Timothy, don't be discouraged by the failure around you. Don't be discouraged, Timothy, by other believers not serving and using their gifts. Timothy, don't think you wouldn't be useful in using your gift. God's power can work through you. Timothy, be courageous. No one's promising easy street here. And those same words would come to us, wouldn't they? Don't be discouraged if you see others not serving. Serve the Lord yourself. Don't be discouraged by failure around. Don't think you wouldn't be useful in God's service. God's power can work through you. That's all it is. It's all it is for anyone. God's power working through them. And it's not going to be easy. If we thought serving the Lord was going to be easy, we've read the wrong Bible, haven't we? But we can slip into that mentality. Timothy, fan into flame that gift that was in you. It's a gift that has been recognized by others. It is a gift that has been given to you by God. And it's a gift not to be exercised in a spirit of fear. Fearfulness is not from the Lord. You know, there'd be many reasons for Timothy to fear, wouldn't there? The persecution of the Emperor Nero was now reaching its height. There was false teaching around it as prevalent. And Timothy felt alone, but Timothy, don't have fear. God is with you. Do what he has called you to do. Because you can have that power that is from him. That's the strength and ability to do his work. You can have love, Timothy, in the way you exercise that gift. God's love will enable you to admonish. God's love will enable you to encourage. God's love will enable you to desire his will above yours, Timothy. And God will give you, Timothy, self-control. It means a mind that can think clearly and act accordingly. Timothy, don't be fearful. You can have power, love, and discernment. And so Timothy and we have been reminded that God provides, that we are in partnership with each other. We have indwelling faith, and we have a gift from God. May God bless his word to us tonight. Let's just pray, and I'll hand back to Drew. Father, we just come before you tonight. We thank you for your word. Help us to understand what it says, Lord. And help us to apply that which we should to our own lives. To not just be listeners and then forgetters of your word. But Father, help that were to have an abiding place in our hearts and minds, and for us to act accordingly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.